celebrate, Jesus celebrates. Celebrate, Jesus celebrates. Celebrate, Jesus celebrates. Celebrate, Jesus celebrates. He is risen, he is risen.
He is risen. Amen. Amen. It is good to see you and glad that you're here with us this morning. If you're visiting with us, inside your bulletin, you'll find that there's a little section that can be torn away, and we invite you to fill that out if you would and place it in the offering plate later in the service as it's passed. Not a lot of announcements for the week, but Wednesday is our day of prayer. We have our prayer meeting at 7:30 on Wednesday morning in the library, as well as 6 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, evening. And our children's activities are at 6:30 on Wednesday evening. Next Sunday, we have a lot to look forward to, because within our service, we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper. And deacons, next week will be your deacons meeting as well. Our WMU will be meeting a week from Monday at 10 o'clock in the library. Also, on the 14th of this month, our ladies' Bible study will resume. They'll be studying The Hard Good by Lisa Whittle. Our women's ministry tea is April the 21st, and if you have any questions concerning that, you can touch base with Carla. Carla, you have any word to say concerning that?
I just still need some hostesses, so I'm ready for y'all to come talk to me.
If you have an interest in supporting our local foster families, there's information in the foyers. It's entitled Family for Families, and it gives you an opportunity to show areas of interest that you might have in supporting our foster families. Coming up on May the 5th is a memorial service for the Cleveland Memorial Piano Fund. Our piano is in need of replacement in the near future. And that fund is open. If you'd like to make a donation toward that, just on your check, include Cleveland Memorial Piano Fund. Also in that regards, we are having t-shirts made that says, I love my church. And on the back, it's going to have First Baptist Church of Fort Valley. They're going to be $12 a piece up to extra large. And above extra large, they're $16. And if you would have an interest in one of those t-shirts, you can see Bob, and he will take your name. And the proceeds from this are going to be going to the piano fund. Are there other announcements maybe that I have missed? Anything?
If you give more than $16,
You can give more than $16 if you would like. I mentioned it. A new commandment I give you.
Love one another.
As I have loved you, you must. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. John 13, 34 and 35. Our verse that we're going to emphasize this morning in that regard is found in Romans 12, 16, where it says, live in harmony with one another. Living in harmony with one another doesn't mean we all have to see things exactly the same way. But we need to at least harmonize. You know, when you get two different notes put together, they sound good. And that's the way it should be with us as a body of believers. We might not always agree on everything, but we should harmonize in love with one another. Our opening scripture this morning is found in John 14, verses 2 and 3. And it says, share it with me. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, so that where I am, there ye may be also. What a marvelous promise. Our Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again. You can trust Him on that. Now, as far as when that's going to be, we're not sure, but He says, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, those who have placed faith in Jesus Christ, so that where I am, there ye may be also, and that means for all eternity in heaven. When I was thinking about this, a song came to mind. Songs came to my mind all week, and I'll share some others with you, but I thought of that song by Jim Hill that's entitled, What a Day That'll Be. And it goes, what a day that'll be when Jesus I shall see. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. And then the next verse talks about there will be no sorrow there, no more burden to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there, but forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day. That will be. Let's worship together. Yes, the video. I'm sorry. I left that out. I need to follow my own notes here, I suppose. This is a time of Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Our goal is $4,000. We're not there yet. I hope that after today that we are there. But we're going to see a video now of some of the work that is being done through contributions to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And let's pay close attention and realize there's a lot of work for the Lord to be done within our nation.
We never intended to plant a church. We are Christians. We needed to have devotion with our kids, Bible study with our kids. So started Bible study here. And I think We probably are not realizing what's going on.
We had one parent showed up. He was just passing by. We were in the middle of doing Bible study with our kids. Oh, you guys have been Bible study? Then he totally spread the word, and families started to come in and show up and say, if we're bringing the kids to Bible study, why don't we have church for everybody? I guess they saw something that they couldn't find in our area.
That's how we ended up planting a Haitian church right here in Philadelphia. It was designed with kids in mind.
My name is Keisha Renee, and I'm 16 years old. When God picks somebody to do a job, He doesn't, like, go off of the age that you are. You have to be willing to just do whatever God needs you to do. And I just felt like I had a job to do.
There are kids standing, leading the service. They are integrated. They are part of everything that we do. And families come because of what the Lord is doing. Raising generations of children, of people, of servants, and God is at work. But it started with that burden of seeing something different. So not even a year ago did we think that we were ever going to be in such a circumstance. But we would rather do nothing else but this. This is it. This is what transpires for in eternity.
Fantastic. Our opportunity to be a part of missions is through our giving as well as through our going. Let me just say a word. If you missed the sunrise service, you missed something very special this morning. We had a gathering in the park of between 75 and 100, I would estimate. We had four different churches participating. Wonderful, wonderful time together this morning. Vic, would you lead us in our prayer?
You're excited to be here.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we got some knots and lumps on logs back here. We are going to try to beef it up some. I want you all, we're going to do a responsive hymn, I guess you could say. So Tasha and I are going to sing the verses, and we want you all to sing the alleluias. But how excited you are to be a church is going to show through your alleluias, okay? So we're going to sing two hymns back to back, Christ the Lord is risen today, and then I live. And I want to hear and see how excited you are that you serve a risen Christ. Okay? So if you would, please stand. And the first song is Christ the Lord is risen today.
Sons of men and angels say,
our offertory hymn, Christ Arose. We're going to do this a little differently. We're going to sing all three verses and then the chorus.
Move it over before I knock it over. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Like I said, I was thinking of songs all week long. A song that came to my mind that I had not heard of in a long time, a song that was sung by Mahalia Jackson. Now, some of you don't know who she was, and some of you do. And she sang a song that was entitled, The Great Getting Up Morning. Some of you remember that. Well, in that great getting up morning, fairly well, you know that? Okay. And the verse goes like this. Let me tell you about the coming judgment. Fare you well, fare you well. God's going up and speak to Gabriel. Fare you well, fare you well. Pick up your silver trumpet. Fare you well, fare you well. Lord, how loud shall I blow it? Fare you well, fare you well. Okay, to wake the children up. C-H-I-R-R-U-N, children up. Fare you well, fare you well. They be coming from every nation. Fare you well, fare you well. On their way to the great coronation. Fare you well, fare you well. Dressed in a robe so white as snow. Fare you well, fare you well. Singing, oh, I've been redeemed. Fare you well, Lord, in that great getting up morning. There's going to be a great getting up morning, a day that has been prepared. And also that song, there's a great day coming. Some of you might even remember that one. There's a great day coming, a great day coming when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? There's a bright day coming, but its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? There's a sad day coming when the sinner shall hear his doom. Depart, I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? I think about that passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 where it says, by his power God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. What a marvelous promise. Because he has risen, we too shall rise. But you know, on this earth, I hope to be here when the rapture takes place. I don't know about you. I hope to be here when the rapture takes place. But if not, I'll go through that death process and await the coming of the Lord. You know, as a pastor, I've been through many of those death processes. Funerals. I have been to sad funerals where there was a lot of crying. I think back, and as I think of those two, a call that I received about 9 o'clock, my secretary told me I had a call, and I got word that there had been a death, and it was only a couple of blocks from the church. I rushed over there. The grandparents lived close by. And as I walked in, I went in and sat on the side of the bed with a grieving mother who had discovered that her son had died during the night of crib death. Her sad funerals. So very sad. Received a phone call one day. Made my way to an address I'd never been to. It's where a deacon's daughter lived, and I met him outside of the apartment, and he had discovered that his daughter had died. I stood there with him as the mother arrived. Very sad funeral. There are sad funerals. But you know, there's also happy funerals. I think of my dear friend Annie Hyde, 103 years old when she died. A lady of prayer, a lady of strong faith. Her funeral was a celebration of great joy. You've been to those happy funerals, those sad funerals. Some of the saddest funerals are when I have to stand in front of the family with uncertainty about the faith of the person that was lying there. One of the saddest deaths that ever took place was the death of Jesus. We who read the Gospels from this side of Easter know how everything ends. And sometimes we don't really grip the tragedy of his death. But in your mind, I want you to try to imagine just a little bit this morning. The first person I want you to think about is that of Mary. Mary on the day that Jesus died, the mother of Jesus. She had experienced the angels. She had experienced his birth. She had experienced the coming of the shepherds, the wise men, the temple experience with Jesus where he stayed behind. And as he had grown, I have no doubt that Mary's love for her son grew more and more, and that she believed that he was the promised Messiah. Imagine Mary standing at the foot of the cross, looking at her son as he's brutally tortured and killed. What was going through her mind? Maybe she was wondering what the future would hold. Maybe she was thinking back to when Joseph had died. She experienced the death of her husband, now the death of her son. What grief. Brutally tortured. Imagine being a disciple of Jesus. You can choose to be whichever disciple you might want, whether it's Peter, Andrew, James, and John, or whoever it might be. You have committed 3 years of your life to following Jesus. You've listened to his teachings. You've seen miracle upon miracle. You've given up your family and your career and everything. You've staked your entire life on living with him and for him. Imagine believing that he would bring deliverance to Israel. And as you look up at Jesus dying the most dreadful death possible, you begin to think that maybe I've been wrong. That you've just been following a man who is now dead. Imagine being a Pharisee or a scribe. You know, as we read through the New Testament, we read where they were constantly questioning Jesus, trying to trap him in his words and things that he did and how he broke the law. Perhaps there's some glee there. Maybe their jealousy has subsided. Imagine being Satan. Maybe he's thinking, it's been almost too easy. In the ancient war of Satan against God, it finally appears that God has made a fatal mistake. Jesus is dead. Imagine thinking that he had finally defeated God. In his mind, he's thinking, this is my finest hour. We forget the seemingly finality of Jesus' death. He died before his time, 33 years of age. His mission was not accomplished. Like so many so-called messiahs and teachers who preceded him, he too had been killed for taking a stand. And there was nothing left but a dead body, a scattered and discouraged group of followers, and a mother who is grieving. You see that's what Jesus' disciples felt on that first Easter. They had grieved for 3 days, but on Sunday, everything changed. Word got out that they had seen Jesus alive. He's alive again. He's risen. Word became more frequent. There was new hope. There was renewed faith. Satan had not won after all, and Mary did not have to grieve over her lost son. And the disciples didn't have to mourn. Jesus was, and Jesus is alive. A hymn that I like to sing around Easter is that him he lives. And there's one little phrase in there that just sticks in my mind. You ask me how I know he lives. Help me. He lives within my heart. Experiencing the Lord Jesus Christ within for the believer brings about an increased faith, an assurance, a ridding of any doubt. Jesus was and Jesus is alive. You see, the cross was not the end of the story, for it's followed by a resurrection that signifies a new beginning. Luke chapter 24 underlines the discovery and the surprise and the wonder of the resurrection. Looking at the first verse through verse 6, I want us to listen to what the women did when they arrived at the tomb. Put yourself there. You know, when I was out at the sunrise service this morning, I got there early. I always try to be early, and it was still somewhat dark. And in my mind, I always stop and try to imagine what it was like. But we're told that on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen." Listen to what happened to Peter when he ran to the tomb. Luke chapter 24, verse 12. But Peter rose and ran, we know, with John to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Looking further into this 24th chapter, we see something that appeared to the disciples in verse 36. We're told that as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." I don't know if you've ever noticed it. Anytime Jesus says peace to you, it means it's a time of anxiety and uncertainty. He says peace to you, and it says, but they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved, my goodness, there he is, his hands, his feet, in their presence, and it said, and while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" It was a time of wonder, a time of marveling, a time when the disciples were perplexed. It was a time of doubt and maybe some disbelief. But after repeated appearances, the disciples became convinced that Jesus had risen. Today, this Easter, we should come to the cross with wonder. We must never lose the wonder of the resurrection. We should never take it for granted. We should never become so accustomed to the Easter story that it loses its wonder. Every year when Easter rolls around, we should be so startled by the reality that Jesus Christ conquered death that it should literally transform our lives. Jesus is risen, and because he is risen by that same power, we too will be risen. He's alive, and he is here. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous! How wonderful! And my song shall ever be. How marvelous! How wonderful is my Savior's love for me. We shared John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave. How great is the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. If you get nothing else out of this time that we're together, I want you to know that no matter who you are here today, God loves you. God loves you. And he loves you so much that he prepared a way for you to spend all of eternity with him. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive my children unto myself. Not everybody. Because everybody's not going to heaven. That's just not the way it is. In order to go to heaven, we must receive the gift of salvation. We must experience God's grace and mercy. And by faith, repent of our sins and believe. How marvelous! How wonderful! He is risen. And because he is risen, we too, as his children, shall rise again. You know, how can we get so excited about the things of this world and not be overly excited about the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead? We can get so excited about a child winning a trophy, winning a game. We can get excited about a new promotion or a raise, a new car. We can get excited about when things just go right. And yet not be moved by the fact that Jesus Christ rose again. We should leap out of bed on Easter morning and cry out, "Hallelujah, Christ has risen." We should never lose our sense of wonder about the resurrection. It should be the centerpiece of our faith. It was with the apostles. We're told that when the early disciples preached, we have their preaching recorded in the book of Acts, they majored on the resurrection. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the 22nd verse. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. But God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are witnesses. To the very ones that crucified Jesus, the apostles were preaching the resurrection to. The Sadducees didn't even believe in the resurrection. In Acts chapter 10, verse 39, we see the preaching continues. And we are witnesses of all that he hath done, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear not to all people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Paul goes on to say to the church at Corinth, he says, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Then he says, but in Christ we have hope in this life only, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The centerpiece of our faith is the literal bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it makes all the difference in the world. Listen to me. Because he rose again, we can have salvation. Because he rose again, we know his word is true. Because he rose again, we know that we too will be raised on that great getting up morning. I take you to the time when Lazarus had died. Mary and Martha had sent for Jesus and the disciples. They were late in arriving, and Lazarus had been in the tomb for days. He had died. And as Jesus approached, Martha went out to meet Jesus, and she said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, Martha said, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, listen to this. This is powerful scripture here and some that you need to meditate on. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you hear that? I repeat it again. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone, so inclusive, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord. But an even more important question is the question to you. Do you believe? Do you believe? The answer is either yes or no. There's nothing in between. Do you believe that whoever believes in Jesus, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in Jesus will never die? Do you believe this? Romans 10:13. What an invitation. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The resurrection, the centerpiece of our faith. The Bible connects Jesus' resurrection with our final bodily resurrection. In the life that we live, we should be looking forward to that great day, whether it be the rapture or by death. That 14th verse that we shared earlier from 1 Corinthians 6. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. To the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 4:14 it says, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. because Christ has been raised, we too will be given resurrection bodies on that great getting up morning. All those who believe in Christ will be raised. Earlier on, I talked about happy funerals and sad funerals. For the Christian, for the believer, there's really no such thing as a sad funeral. Yes, there are tragic deaths I've experienced in families through the years. Yes, there's grieving families, grieving friends. But at that time, we can also echo the words of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But, he says, thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory in what sense? Those who live and believe in me shall never, what? Die. Death has lost its victory. Death has lost its sting. We don't have to fear death. Dear Mr. Edwin Brown, a dear couple, senior adult couple that joined church in Marietta when I was there. They became a little ill, and we would go to their apartment and have the Lord's Supper with them and have some devotion times. And he was placed in the hospital. He was having a very difficult time. One day I knocked on his, real lightly, on his hospital door and just barely opened it up to peep in because I didn't want to wake him if he was asleep. And as I went in, I just laid a card on his little table that he had there. And he said, "Preacher, is that you?" I said, "Edwin, I didn't mean to wake you up." I said, "Go on back to sleep and rest." I said, "We can talk later." He says, "No, I need to talk with you." And he had an experience through the night. You know, there's one thing that you can never deny. You can never deny what someone says they've experienced. You can't deny it. Whether it be your testimony or whatever, you know, if I tell you my testimony about how I became a Christian, you can't deny it. I experienced it. So he said, "Preacher, I've got something I want to share with you." And he had a death experience during the night. And he looked at me and he said, "Brother Phil," he said, "I want you to tell everyone, especially Christians, that there is nothing to fear in death. We don't have to fear death. Lord, help us to never lose the wonder and the amazement of what happened on that first Easter morning. Because He lives, we live. Because He lives, He lives within my heart." We too should be filled with amazement. We too should be filled with wonder. We too should be perplexed. We too should be filled with joy. The resurrection, the center of our faith. Are you looking forward to the Lord's return? Are you looking forward to meeting Him face to face? If there's anyone here who has not made the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the center point of your faith. If you've never believed, could this be the day? Are you ready? Is God's Spirit touching your life? Are you ready to finally have within your heart the assurance of salvation, the assurance of eternal life in heaven? Lord, my prayer is that you might walk out of this building today with a new sense of joy, a new sense of wonderment, a new sense of assurance. I pray that you would receive with confidence the assurance of eternal life. and salvation. If you have not repented of your sin and trusted in Jesus as Savior, what better time than Easter morning? The morning that made all the difference. O Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. Think about that. O Lord, haste the day. Bring forward the day when my faith shall be sight. When I might see you face to face. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Another question. Is it well with your soul? To Martha, Jesus says, do you believe? To you, I ask, do you believe? As the song said, are you ready for that day? Do you know? We don't know when he's coming back. But he's coming. It could be today. It could be 1,000 years from now. Because the Bible says a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. But the truth is the matter. He's coming back. And the question is, are you ready? All the preparations have been made. Salvation is there for you as a gift from God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for it's by grace that you are saved through faith. Grace, unmerited love. Do you deserve it? Absolutely not. Do I deserve it? Absolutely not. It's a love that we can't understand. A love where I can say, no matter who you are here this morning, God loves you. And this morning, you have an opportunity to receive that love that God has for you. To receive that plan that was before time, that the Lord Jesus Christ would come as a sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. Praise God. He is risen. Father, we thank you for a love that we cannot understand. For a plan that we can't understand. Oh, that God would come in human flesh and die for me. And die for you in perfection for the sins of the world. And in the power of the resurrection was raised. And Lord, to try to grip the idea that one day we too will be raised to spend all eternity with you. Lord, I pray that your Spirit has touched lives this morning. And I pray that you might give boldness where there's a need for boldness. I pray that you might give courage where there's a need for courage. And I pray that your Spirit will convict and bring salvation to any who are lost here this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we stand, as we sing, you have the opportunity to respond. You know, the words of that song are a profession of our faith. As believers, is He Lord? Is He ruler of your life? Have you gotten to that point where you say, Lord, it's not about me anymore? This life is not about me. I am crucified with Christ that He might live through me. Are you ready to do that today? What better day than Easter as believers? Lord, I give you all that I am. Take me, use me. Lord, I pray that others might see you in and through me. And I pray that the life that I live might be a testimony for you, so that the words that I share might have a greater power and a greater meaning. I pray that us as believers might get to that point where our faith is such that He is Lord. Wherever He tells us to go, whatever He tells us to do, that's what we do. This morning I want us to conclude with singing a song. Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? You know, we as believers have victory. And our victory is in Jesus. Let's sing that first verse in a time of celebration on this Easter morning. This is our benediction.